Welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Brandon.
Look at that. Whoa. You're Zach?
You know?
Welcome back, Zach.
Hold on. I thought maybe I was here with Matthew McConaughey or something.
Zach Efron.
Oh, okay. Now I understand.
Dropped it, nailed it.
I was being in Neighbors.
You know what? It was a great experience for me, and I really think I've convinced American audiences.
Don't spoil it.
I won't. I just think I've convinced American audiences that I have a range that they didn't get to see in my early work. I think people are going to be surprised about my career in the future. I'm trending upward, baby. Buy Zac Efron stock.
I might do that because I really love Neighbors. Let me just put this out on front straight really quick. We're recording this from the past. We know exactly when it's going to drop. It's 2 weeks from today.
Oh, cool.
It's just shit that happened.
Well, I probably have something to promote, but I don't feel like checking IMDb to find out what it is.
But Zach was telling me a couple weeks ago that, we were talking a real roulette about how you could see... Maybe we weren't even recording, but you were talking about how you could see Zac Efron doing certain things.
Oh, and yeah.
Where would you see Zac Efron doing? And you're like, you got to watch Neighbors.
Uh-huh.
You
don't understand.
You're right, dude.
Kids got talent.
Yeah, the kids actually got some range I didn't really think that he had. So
Now I just need to see him pull off something. I want to see him in a good dramatic role. And if I see him in one of those, like, I will have completely flipped my opinion on Zac Efron.
Well, he already won me over with Neighbors. When you're a teenager, you grab anything you can.
Uh-huh.
Man, shit. It made him famous. High school musical.
Can't
movies,
be mad at that.
Not that I ever watched him.
And here's the thing. It made him more money than I can fathom.
Plus, you were in the play, right?
Yeah, it's true.
You and my dad. It was the only play my dad did that I didn't go to. I was just like, I didn't tell him I wasn't going, but I knew as soon as he said High School Musical, I'm like, I'm not sitting through that.
See, I want to know the alternate universe where you did sit through that and then met me like 2 years before you were supposed to. And
yeah, maybe
there's an alternate universe somewhere.
I feel like I met you very quickly after that. I could be mistaken on that, but how many years back are we going now?
2009.
2000. Oh, yeah, that's a couple years.
Because I was right out of high school when I did that. That was like the spring I graduated.
I feel like we started recording Skies with you in 2012.
That sounds right.
Beginning of 2012, sometime.
Yeah, that sounds
I know
right.
It was cold out.
It was right. It was like right after Avengers, wasn't it?
It was before Avengers.
It was definitely before Avengers.
Yeah, but we definitely talked
the
about Avengers.
The only reason I say that is I remember when the thing he told me was listen to the Avengers episode.
Okay, really?
Yeah. Because I listened to that one and I listened to the one where you guys did the alien trivia game.
Maybe it was. I feel like we were talking about football a lot. And it seems like football season would have still been going.
Oh, no, because remember in 2012, I left that summer. Because I was in Australia and I came back in the fall.
Oh.
And then I started back up again.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. It's on there somewhere.
Yeah.
If we gave a shit, we could
actually... People can fact check this. And there's probably... You know what the honest God truth is? We're probably both wrong.
Yeah. It's probably like 2000, not 12.
Yeah.
I don't even know when the Avengers came out. I have no idea.
May 2012. I know that. Okay. Only because I had like... drilled that into my head going into Avengers, so like now I can't get rid of it.
I drilled it in my head at the first Avengers or the first Iron Man where I was just like, oh, this is gonna happen. I was so happy.
Don't you wish you could go back and recreate that feeling of like, oh my God, this is actually gonna happen?
I don't think I need to anymore.
I'd like to feel it again.
Because what it is like now I have the realization that like Marvel can pull off any property and make it watchable with Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm not saying they'll continue to do this forever, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm excited for everything that's coming out now.
Guardians
of the Galaxy, I had a little bit of dread for because I was worried that might be the one.
Yeah.
Like,
and Ant-Man is the next one that we need to be wary of.
I'm not even wary of it anymore. I'm bummed out. I'm bummed out that they have a different director, but I just feel like Marvel knows what they're doing.
I have a lot of sort of optimistic confidence about Ant-Man, but I still have concerns.
Yeah. I don't have the concerns. I'm putting it out there that I could be totally wrong. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised.
My concerns are less about Marvel specifically and more about like the turnaround from going one director to the other, like how hard that is to do that short period of time, and like just the, it's less about Marvel itself and more about the difficulties of that scenario.
But when's Ant-Man coming out?
It comes out in July or August of 2015, after Avengers 2.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. That's a lot of time.
Yeah, I'm not too terribly stressed either, but I do have concerns.
I mean, Brett Ratner totally pulled off X-Men 3.
Yeah. 100. That one's even weirder, because Bryan Singer...
That was sarcasm, by the way.
Bryan Singer was on and then left, right?
Yeah, he went to Superman Returns, yep. Which was Brett Ratner's project that he yep. left and went to X-Men 3.
No, wait. There's someone in between. After Bryan Singer, Matthew Vaughn was the director for about 6 weeks. And then he left because he didn't think he could do it in that short of a time. And Brett Ratner came on.
Proved that it couldn't be done in that short of a time.
Yep. And then Matthew Vaughn came back again. Like, there's a whole weird incestual director thing going on with the X-Men franchise.
What else did Matthew Vaughn do?
Matthew Vaughn did... So he did X-Men.
Vaughn, sorry.
He did X-Men First Class. He did Kick-Ass. He did Layer Cake. Those are his three biggest ones, probably. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen Layer Cake. Layer Cake's That's good. The one I've always meant to watch because I know it's got
Tom Hardy.
Yeah, it's got the pedigree where I want
to
watch
it. If you've ever wanted to see Daniel Craig and Tom Hardy make drugs together, that's the movie for you.
I thought you were going to say Daniel Craig's penis when you started saying
that. If you've ever if you've ever wanted to see Daniel Craig's penis, I can point you to some places.
Isn't it Layer Cake?
There,
I thought I heard his penis is in there.
It's in there, but it's done in such a way that you almost don't even notice it.
It's done real classy.
Yeah, real classy, real subtle.
Oh, that's good.
Like, he's not doing the peener dance and helicoptering it around.
I thought that was classy.
It's only classy if you play the soundtrack from Moulin Rouge behind it.
You know what the least classiest showing of a penis in a movie ever was like in Walk Hard.
Yeah.
When the dude just walks into the frame.
The one in Forgetting Sarah Marshall isn't all that classy either.
I thought
either.
Of that one first, but then I thought of Walk Hard. Walk Hard, like, that kind of trumps it.
Yeah, Walk Hard just sort of shows up. There's a dick there for a while, and then...
And you never see any part of the dude other than
The classiest penis in a movie ever is Michael Fassbender in Shame, where the penis is basically its own character in the
movie. Feed me, Seymour.
Honest to God... Michael Fassbender's penis was the second tallest cast member of that film.
So what do you want to talk about, Brandon?
What a transition. People listening to this are going to get emotional whiplash.
I have no idea where he's coming. It might be about his penis. I don't know. Did you see how it didn't come in right before that?
Yeah.
It's going to kind of go in a little bit of a dark place, but it's something I needed to get off my chest. So the wife and I were having a beer on Friday night, went down over to the local bar, went to the...
Which local bar? Nichols?
No.
Legion?
The Legion.
Oh, yeah. That really is the local bar for you. It's like two blocks away.
No, it's literally right across the street.
Away. Yeah, you're right.
Well, we were over there having a beer, and we were talking with some... this is my wife's mom's bar. Like... She's one of the regulars. She's there 4 or 5 nights a week.
It's kind of your wife's bar, too, isn't it?
Like, no.
She used to talk about it like it was her bar.
No, she talked about it because it was her mother's bar.
Okay. She got older and found new bars, I guess.
Anyway, we were over there drinking with my mother-in-law, and we were talking with some of their friends about our neighbors, because they have a rental property, and they were wondering, because they were thinking about upping their rent. And we said, well, our neighbors are pretty good. Like, and we talked about how our rent was. They said, well, they asked how our neighbors are. They're mostly really good, except for like the ones that are kitty corner from us. They're kind of sketchy.
Are these the same neighbors?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh. I was like thinking like you're totally putting your foot in your mouth, like, except for those
douchebags. Throwing them under the bus.
Apparently they got this awful property that they're putting up for rent.
They've been thinking about upping their rent.
Yeah. And every once in a while I'm walking out, like going to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it smells like skunk in the hallway.
Yeah, that happened when we came to your house for enchiladas the other night.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that
it
was my
that was
fault,
a Friday
guys.
Night, and it was
I was gassy.
And there's been people like coming like in and out of the apartment building all hours of the day. We're like, they're probably selling drugs out of this apartment.
I will tell you, I didn't want to voice it because I didn't know who could hear through open windows or anything. But that was the impression that I got, judging by the fact that we sat there on that stoop and how many people came by.
There was a lot of people
and then left immediately.
Like, hey, Brandon, you're going to be seeing a lot more of me.
Well, we're voicing this and we're like, they're probably selling drugs. And the other bartender comes in and she's like, comes up to my wife and she's like, I don't want to say anything, but you know, your neighbors are probably like, she was talking to a cop down the street and they've been watching that building. Like, they've busted it earlier this week. They're like, they're selling drug, like methamphetamine out of that drug.
You will not be seeing more of me.
and just like, I mean, it's so weird when you're having this conversation and somebody comes up and like throws this knowledge on top of it. You're like, yeah, I can definitely see that. And I fucking don't like it.
Yeah.
Well, later that night, cause I had went home and had a few more beers watching some Kevin Smith movies and just enjoying it. And then I walked outside, looked at their apartment. They put up a fucking video camera to monitor people going in and out of the building. Like one of those like night vision closed circuits where it's got the little red LEDs. And I am like been so fucking torn what I need to do at this point.
Well,
so, and like, okay, the other situation is the landlord, it's his son that lives in this apartment.
Oh, I don't think there's anything you really can do. That sucks.
And
go ahead.
And I'm just like so torn where I need to be like do with this situation. Like, I know I need to do something, but I don't know what the right answer. Because like every time I walk outside to go have a cigarette, I'm like, I just want to walk up and fucking kick that video camera.
Just on the off chance this audio is ever subpoenaed, I would like to make it clear and formal on the record that I have no knowledge of any situations, and any knowledge I do have can only be considered hearsay at best. That's all I have to say.
I can tell you a story about me. That's about the best I can do.
All right.
Is this a parable?
No,
it's not. I was sort of hoping for a parable.
It's literally a story, and you can take whatever wisdom you want.
I'm going to tell you, no matter what this story is, I will make it a parable.
Okay. This is a true story. When I was living in Olympia, this was maybe a year before I moved back to Helen. Maybe a year and a half. Probably a year and a half, okay?
I'm just going to interrupt for one moment.
Yes.
If anyone is looking for the biggest flaw of the three of us as hosts, we are not great with timelines. That's what we're really learning from this.
I think it was 2012. Anyway, so when I lived in Ole, now this is the thing. I used to smoke a lot and, you know, do not so savory things. I had this neighbor who was this quiet guy who kind of kept himself. We talked about him a little bit in Real Roulette. He was the dude who had the shitter that shared the room with his living room, bedroom, kitchen. It was all one
room. I remember that parable.
Right. Well, this is the furthering of that story. If you heard that story and you were like, I want to know more, get ready.
Here we go.
So I went outside for a cigarette with my neighbors, right? And because I was best friends with the guys on the opposite side of my house. Well, the guy who was always there, who's quiet and kept himself, just suddenly died. And the paramedics were in there and they were taking him off. And there was this weird dude who was over there and introduced us to him. The guy's name was Jim, who died. Okay. Introduced us as Jim's son. And we all took him at his word, like it's Jim's son, like he was there because they were taking the body off, right? Well, then people started coming over at all hours of the night. Like, that guy was suddenly just in the place all the time. And people were coming over all the time. The sketchiest people you could imagine were coming over. Okay. Now, all this shit happens, and I'm not going to go, like, bullet point through every single thing, but eventually at one point, this dude comes up, and he, like, starts knocking on the door and then kicking the door, and then he takes his note and takes a knife and drives it into the door, and he comes up to me, he's like, "Do you know the motherfucker who lives next door?" And I'm like, "I have no idea." And he goes, "Well, tell him I'm coming for him," and leaves. And I'm like, "What the fuck?" And I go up to the door, and the note says, "Yo, blood." That's all it says. Just "yo, blood" on there, right? So now I'm kind of freaked out. There's, like, sketchy neighbors coming over all the time. There's that. I'm starting to pay attention to the people who are coming over, and they're, like, clearly meth heads. Like, there's just no question around it, right? So then one night, my girlfriend at the time, she's in her nightgown, and all of a sudden she sees, like, somebody watching her through the window, and she goes, like, running up to the window and sees the guy who is standing in the window across, like, looking in our window, like, watching her. And that was just when I was like, fuck this guy's got to go. Like, I'd had it at that point. And so he had this, like, ratty old car. And I went to talk to the landlord, and the landlord's like, "No, that's not Jim's son." He's like, "I don't know who the fuck that is. Like, I already kicked that guy out once. Like, he was just squatting. Is he there again?" I was like, "Yeah, he's there." And so my landlord was, like, kind of an older hippie guy. Didn't really, I don't know. He would rent to anybody. Like, he would rent to the sketchiest dudes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, the kind of guy who's like, "If you know anybody who wants to move in there, just let me know." Like, he didn't give a shit. He just wanted
he just wanted his rent.
Yeah, exactly. So, so now I'm, like, kind of tripping out about this because this dude was watching my girlfriend through the window, and that was when I'd had enough, right? So I finally, when I see him there again, I call the landlord. He doesn't do anything, and he's got this old piece of shit car. So the landlord finally comes over, changes the locks. The guy can't get in there anymore, but guess what? This is the spot where he's dealing meth now. So people are coming up to this old shitty car, and, like, he's, like, throwing them sacks through the car, and then they're taking off, and this happens for about 2 weeks. I just had enough at this point. So I call the cops to get the car towed. Okay, they're saying there's nothing we can do unless, like, the car stays there for 2 weeks and stuff. And I'm like, fuck. And then I'm sitting there like, should I tell them about the meth? Like, I'm really struggling with it because I don't want to be a rat. I really don't want to be a rat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was enough, dude. He was, like, throwing so much chaos in all our lives. So I finally, like, okay, this is the thing. And I love my friends dearly who were there, but nobody backed me up on this. Like, 2-1, nobody backed me up on this. It was, like, me and me alone because I was dealing with most of the fallout. So I called the cops. I told them he was slinging meth. They went up and, like, they busted him with a ton of meth. Like, you could tell they were, like, they put him up against the car, like, handcuffed him. You could see him, like, pulling out a sack or something. And, like, they took him off to jail. And then they towed the car, like, 2 weeks later, and I never saw him again. My life got instantly better. I didn't have the respect of my friends, but my life got better. That's all I can tell you, Brandon.
Can I throw a bit of friend philosophy out there?
Yes.
Okay, so like you said, like, nobody wants to be a rat. Nobody wants to be that guy. Nobody wants to. That said, if one of your friends has finally had enough and is going to be the one who drops a dime, 100% have their back.
Yeah, and I'm not ripping on my friends.
No,
I mean,
it's not about a bad person thing. It's about a wrong decision thing.
Like, yeah, it's just like this dude was making it so that I couldn't sleep at night.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody who's any kind of person does that to another person. Exactly.
At a certain point.
And he wasn't living there. Like, he was, I mean, he was living in his car, but he was just dealing meth.
He was living there. He wasn't paying rent there.
And it was like they would come over and he'd move his car a little bit, like, over and over again. So they couldn't even tow it till he went to jail. And then I'll be honest, dude, I called him again. I was like, "That car is still here that you chalked up like 2 weeks ago." Because I learned the law. And so they towed the car then. So. It's like, fuck it, dude. I've had enough with this guy. I never want to see him again. It worked out well for me, but I mean, I didn't really have the respect of my friends after that. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, if you drop the dime, like, I get it, dude. But
Brandon,
you
know, if you
not drop, everybody's gonna be on board.
If you drop the dime, you have my respect. I got your back. In fact, wait. In case this is subpoenaed, this is an absolute lie that I'm just telling to make a friend feel better. I will perjure myself to have your back.
Well, and this is the thing. If they were slinging weed or something, it would be one thing. But it's like meth, dude. Who knows who's coming up?
Meth is another level.
Meth is definitely another level. And you know what's really, like, been bothering me is this video camera has really bothered me.
That's your privacy now.
And, you know, what has really bothered me is, like, you know, they know when I'm not at my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And
haven't you had a neighbor who, like, ripped off your stuff in Bozeman before?
Yeah, when I was living in Bozeman, we were living on the first level. There was people dealing meth out of the second level above us. And the third level on the apartment building was actually a cop. And, you know, we had so much fun. We had one guy, like, knock on our door because he was too fucking stoned to know what door to knock on where your dealer lives.
Know where your dealer lives.
that is an important thing. You got to know where your dealer
lives. I don't ever want to know where a dealer lives, and I don't want them to know where I live. You meet at neutral locations. Kids, if you learn anything from this podcast, meet your dealer at neutral locations.
With a lot of, like, people that could be witnesses.
You know what? If you have to do it in Arby's parking lot at 3 a.m, that's what you do.
I'm pretty sure Safeway is where most of that stuff happens.
Again, if this tape...
When I was younger. That's just hearsay. I don't know anymore.
If this tape is subpoenaed, again, all speculation, I'm pulling this out of my ass.
Me too. But this is the thing. Like, nobody wants to drop a dime on anybody. It doesn't want to happen. But there's people who make it so that it has to happen. And putting a video camera in your apartment building, that's making it happen.
That went over the line.
And you've got children. Like, it's not even... It's like, you can look at me like I'm a bitch rat and fine, whatever. But, like, you got kids.
I'm protecting my children, my family.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's where I'm at.
You protect what's yours.
Yeah, so that's where I fall on. I got your back, whatever you decide to do.
All right, so if I go home and kick a video camera...
may or may not have your back. We'll find out.
The internet will have your back because your effervescent charm and boyish good looks are enough to sway anyone to your
side.
Because
that shows up so well on the
internet. Should we take your picture and put it on the podcast?
It's a great decision. Link his picture forever to the episode where he considers dropping a dime on his neighbors. If anything, you should put somebody, just get a random Google image search of someone's face to throw the trail off.
Somebody with a big,
all right, Shutterstock,
mustache.
I'm looking at you.
That'll be the picture, I tell you right now.
What up, Getty Images?
And I'm pretty sure we need the Willem Dafoe image.
There you go. Oh, Brandon doesn't know about this. We saw a movie where Willem Dafoe played someone and he didn't have a single dark whisper.
Really? Yeah.
It was infuriating.
Yeah, he was a good guy to the end.
Not only was he a good guy, his entire character's purpose was there to talk about how awesome the main character was.
Yeah, and...
I gotta give it up to Willem Dafoe.
Yes, he showed some range.
And it was written by Dean Koontz, so there was a possibility of some kind of evil happening.
There's a total possibility of dark whispers happening.
I maintain that from that episode. I think since it's a series of books,
he may turn.
Yeah, there might have been a book where he turned.
Well,
but I don't
tell
think
you what,
enough money where that's going to
we
happen.
Will revisit this theory if this movie ever gets a sequel.
I don't think it will.
Because I'm sure as shit not going to read the books.
Wasn't
you know
it
what?
A $20 million budget with a $60 million payout? I don't think it's happening.
Here's the thing. Not only will I not read the books to find out, I won't skim the Wikipedia page to find out.
Yeah,
I care that little.
I'm half interested because my mother is a big Dean Koontz fan.
Well, it's a movie called Odd Thomas. It's on Netflix right now if you want to check it out. So
I may have to just ask her one night, like, Willem Dafoe character in Odd Thomas.
When we were on it, it was the first one that came up in horror. Mm. It was literally the first movie
which is silly because that movie has nothing in common with a horror movie other than, like,
no, not a horror
death
movie
is involved
all. Yeah, not a horror movie at all. I would say it was more
I would call it like a fantasy.
You could say a comedic thriller, fantasy, but not really.
I'd say a comedic fantasy.
Yeah,
it's.
Yeah,
I'd say it fits in the fantasy genre. And,
yeah, like an oddball
Netflix has a tough time with some genres.
They Which do, is dude. Weird because and, they get and the super links, specific
And the
sometimes.
Links that they have sometimes are really out there.
Yeah, it's like, hey, are you interested in a movie with a black male protagonist where a secondary character uses a gun on a woman? Because if you are, then Netflix has four movies for you.
By the way, I wanted to see if you guys could get this. So there are three album covers. I just redecorated the man cave here so that, well, I'm going to be honest. The main reason is that... Forrest Whitaker is not staring at me.
Now
all the
he's
time.
Staring at me.
Now I've got.
Now you got Walter
White staring at me, but it's a little less ominous.
It's only half a Walter White, so it's half as bad as it could
Can
be.
Can I just say, I am trapped between the gaze of Forrest Whitaker and Walter White.
But you literally have to turn your head to see either.
You know the only way I can get over this fear? Because here's the thing. Just knowing they're there is enough to make me feel fear.
Does it make you feel better that I put an album cover of Rocky right across from you?
That makes me feel a lot
and
better.
And Flash Gordon.
Rocky, Flash Gordon, and the Hulk smash. Are protecting me.
And you got some Miles Davis.
That's right.
Oh, nope. That's actually Louis Armstrong.
Is that Louis?
Miles Davis is back here.
The shifting.
I apologize. I apologize.
That's okay. I was just telling you. That's
Brandon, are you trying to tell me all black people look the same?
This is a great picture of Miles Davis in a limo playing a trumpet, but I couldn't get the other half because it wouldn't come out right, but... It's a genius other half of the photo because on the other half is his wife looking annoyed, trying to sleep next to him while he's playing his trumpet in the fucking limo. By the way, loudest trumpet player ever. Dude had tons of
homeboy
power.
Had some decibels.
Anyway, so these three albums behind you, I want to see if you guys can get this.
I count to three very differently because I see five.
There are six albums.
There's three
there.
In particular.
Holy shit, there's six.
Part one, a part two, and a part three. Raiders
and
of
there's
Lost
a 45
Ark,
on the album right. on the wall. Just
Raiders of the Lost Ark, Jaws 2, and Superman 3.
I like it.
These movies share one person in common:
John
can
Williams,
Steven Spielberg. John Williams.
You got it. Yeah, that was really
I bad. Was...
But Steven Spielberg is next to Walter White in a very tiny photo.
I was sort of betting on
see,
Steven
people
Spielberg
see
being
this
a producer.
Wall now.
I know it's a cool wall. And guess
oh,
what,
not
guys?
On Jaws 2. He was pissed.
I know. I was sort of counting on it, but I am... You know, what's funny is I was going to bring you guys posters for Christmas, but that's okay.
I still got space. Right, I'm cool. actually going to take that shelf out of here.
Perfect. So... you guys will be getting Christmas presents from
this. No, it's interesting.
I got a
I'm
bunch
looking
of
at
shit
the
in the corner and that's leaving.
You want to know what the best gift you can give a friend is, podcast listeners? The gift you didn't have to pay for. Yeah.
That's always a great gift. It's a great gift.
Oh no, not for me, not a re-gift. This is a
Yeah, right, I got you.
Yeah.
I got some shit at work and here you go.
Exactly.
Now, what were you
if I give stuff from my work, it's not going to be as impressive.
No.
if you still worked
Here's
at the lottery,
blueprint
you could
of
talk.
Hell in a high.
Definitely, like if I worked, still worked at the lottery, there would be a difference.
We could talk. If you just brought me like a couple scratchers, we're in business.
Let me ask a question: if you still worked at the lottery and we won the lottery, would that shit be negated?
No.
So you can be friends with the person?
The only, the only rule they have
right?
is...
Family?
A person living in the same...
Household
as you cannot play the lottery.
So I guess if you still work there, us being roommates is out the window.
If you...
That's the reason we couldn't be roommates. That's the reason. Not the fact that you're a grown man with a family.
Now, what were you? You were gonna comment on something in the room before I went off of my John Williams.
Okay,
that I thought would stump you guys for at least a minute. No, Brandon was right on.
Yeah, Brandon nailed it.
Now, sometime between now and a ways down the road, this 2001: A Space Odyssey cover is really drawing me because somewhere down the road, I don't know before or after, there's a movie I'm gonna review on.
Box office battle.
And
is
the,
it Kubrick?
No.
Okay.
I don't know who the director is on this movie.
Okay.
Anyways, the opening scene has a spaceship very similar to that one.
So it probably ripped it off from this movie.
There is a real chance that happened.
Yeah. I guess, like, in terms of how things react in space, that was one of the most accurate movies to ever come out. 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Although it's really interesting, they have a spaceship that is aerodynamic in space.
Yeah.
All I know is I'm looking at this now, and that ship looks like a penis desperately trying to escape a vagina. I'm not wrong.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, you're only wrong in that that penis has desperately escaped the vagina.
I may have editorialized when I said desperately, but I get the impression that it's a desperate escape.
Do you guys notice I have one picture of my daughter up?
I do.
So I can be a dad.
Hi, daughter.
It also covers up the draft.
Yeah. That's so called, like, being practical.
That's right, dude. It's practical loving.
Two birds with one stone.
That's exactly what that is. I'm just happy. I'm happy with the way my man cave shaped.
Yeah, it's working out really well. For the listeners, the albums we have on the wall, and I'm not counting the 45s. I see a few 45s out there.
Yeah.
I can't read that small print from across the room. It just,
I can't
not
tell you most of them. There's, well, the one over there beneath Raiders is, it's the Beatles. And I can't remember which song.
It says Revolution on it.
Okay.
So is it Revolution
on one side? It's Hey Jude on the other. It's the only Beatles thing I own.
That is a nice 45 to have.
Yeah. Do you like?
Give
you
some props.
It's the only Beatles
one
I've ever been able to find.
Do you like how I didn't say it's Revolution? I just said it has Revolution written on it. Yeah. Like, I didn't put those two things together. Oh, it must be Revolution.
It's even got that Apple logo that all the Beatles ones have. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
At least it's a better Apple logo than, like, the regular one. At least it's, like, a picture of, like, a Granny Smith apple.
Yeah.
The Granny Smith apple cut in half.
And yeah. Over here, there's Wouldn't It Be Nice by the Beach Boys, because I love that song. And I do not remember the other one.
Hang on, I'll find out.
And the other one we had, well, the main actual 33s we have up there, we got James Bond 007.
And there's two of them. There's The Man with the Golden Gun soundtrack and
Free Eyes Only.
Which is a great cover.
It is a great cover. There are some nice camel toe happening on
yeah,
that.
Just Google up For Your Eyes Only poster.
Like, that is a beautiful ass right there.
Yeah, it's a great poster. It's my favorite Bond.
And then
poster.
We have some Kubrick 2001 Space Odyssey. I love that movie. Jaws 2, I don't know so much.
We have the synthesizer version of Star Wars.
That one's a little
below. I have the backside of the Star Wars cover because it's more interesting than just seeing Star Wars.
That is a great picture. It's a really, like, almost like a charcoal version of a Darth Vader.
With an X-Wing, like, melted in where the nose would be. If you get up close enough, you can see
Interesting.
It. Or no, not the... No, I'm sorry, the Imperial Star Destroyer. Only a nerd knows the difference.
Here's what I'll say. If it's 2014 and you don't know, based on silhouette, what an X-Wing looks like, you've never seen Star Wars. The X-Wing is one of the most distinctive jet designs ever.
Here was the interesting thing. This is a world-shattering thing for me when I was in school. So when I was in high school, I was talking with this Danish exchange student, and she had never seen Star Wars. And I was like, you've never seen Star Wars? Which, like, started a chant of, like, four or five guys going, like, you've never seen Star Wars? And, like, we could not believe it. It just, like, boggled our mind, right? And I was, like, rationalizing it as, like, well, she's from another country. So then it turns out two other girls in the class are like, I've never seen Star Wars. And the other ones are silent. I'm like, have you seen Star Wars? None of the girls in the class have seen Star Wars. There was, like, 15 girls, right? I discovered on that day, if you were a guy or in your 30s, you've seen Star Wars.
Yeah.
You've seen it. Okay? If you're a woman the same age,
it is not a guarantee.
It's pretty much a 50-50 chance is what I've been discovering. Like, by the time you hit your 30s, it's about 50-50 whether you've seen it.
Can I tell you guys a short story from my past?
Yes.
So there are a lot of movies I'll go, you've never seen blank, right?
Yeah.
One movie I will not do that with is Star Wars. And it's because
it's older now, no, so it's less shocking.
It's because in middle school, I had this conversation with a pretty girl. You've never seen Star Wars? And then immediately she fires back, you've never had a girlfriend? And I dropped it. I dropped it. I was like, I am out of this. I could not get out of that conversation fast enough. I was like, all right, clearly you do not want to be talking to me and we have nothing in common. And I've already started off on the wrong foot. Like, I'm going to go buy Cheetos and think about this later.
Jesus.
I feel for your younger self.
Yeah.
I like really feel
there's for like your 11, 12 year old Zach was devastated. 23 year old Zach kind of finds it hilarious.
Yeah. Let me tell you about the two girls in our group that me and Brandon hung out with in high school. So like they had seen every episode of Star Trek, every movie of Star Wars, like I'm in Army of Darkness, like all that shit. They were like right on board with
everything.
I lost
my virginity to one in the other's house, so I'm good.
Wait, in whose house? What?
The other one, the real Star Trek nerd.
Oh, and I lost my virginity to the same girl in her house.
So all I want is
you're about to learn like some heinous shit here.
All I want is for Brandon's memoirs to be called "I Lost My Virginity to That Girl in the Other Girl's House."
Can I write a sequel to it? Said I also lost my virginity to that girl, but it was in her house.
On
dot 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 at her house.
Only if you make yours. On one condition can you do this. If the first sentence of your memoirs is the last sentence of his memoirs.
Done. Consider it.
Gotta tie them together. Album. Sequels.
Consider it a Pink Floyd album.
Love it.
Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that? There's a weird thing that somebody clued me into and I was like, that's not right, right? And then I listened to it. It's absolutely true. Every studio album that Pink Floyd did,
mm-hmm.
studio album, okay?
Not live, not right. remix, not shit like that.
Yeah. Okay. There is a sound that the album will end with that if you listen to it on repeat, will continue at the beginning of the album.
Really?
It's pretty baller.
Every single one.
Like, I'm a big Pink Floyd album, and you just fucking blew my mind.
How many times do you listen to the album on repeat, though? I never did until I heard that. And then I like went through like five different albums and discovered, all right, maybe I should couch this before I get too far in this. It checks out for Roger Waters albums. Let me put it that way. For the Pink Floyd ones that Roger Waters is on, I don't know beyond that for sure. But I can tell you without a doubt.
Yeah, I wouldn't put too much stock in that for the Syd Barrett days.
Yeah, I'm not sure I didn't listen to those, but I can tell you it like The Wall, Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here, which are my three favorite albums.
I love each of those.
Definitely checks out on those. The Final Cut, it checks out on. What else? Metal, definitely checks out on. I can tell you those five for sure. Absolutely for sure.
Do you know if it goes into like the Division Bell or any of those albums?
I can't tell you for sure, but I suspect that it does.
That's just, you just fucking blew my mind. That's mine? Beautiful.
I can't believe I've been holding on this information for like 20 years and not told. Well, I've only known it for like 15, but
you know, honestly, it's probably better that you did because eventually we're going to run out of shit to talk about on these. So it's good that you're saving some for over a decade.
Dude, have I ever mentioned how much I love Pink Floyd on this thing? I mean,
from time to time,
like
it's come up
gimme,
from time to time.
I fucking love Pink Floyd, man. Especially those. Okay, Roger Waters is a fucking douchebag, but that
musically
era they
he's
had
a genius.
That era that they had where he was working with Pink Floyd was incredible. Because I didn't really like his Radio Chaos or like his a lot of his solo stuff, but. Fuck, dude, that was like metal is fucking genius.
I love metal.
Like most underrated Pink Floyd album because it doesn't really have a single on it. It's all like soundscapes. Like metal was an album that they had to record so that they could get Dark Side of the Moon, which I think was their very next album. Like they hit like three in a row. It was like metal, Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here. It's fucking phenomenal. And then what's the one with all the pictures and animals, right?
I think
no, that's not animals. Animals isn't great.
No.
I'm not going to pretend like Animals is great. Animals isn't great. What's the one? It's like one disc is a live album and one disc is a studio album. And they have them on a porch. No. They have them on a porch, and then there's a picture in the background, but they're all in different positions on the porch, and there's a picture of that.
Oh, Amagama.
Yeah, Amagama. Not the best one either. But then I enjoy it, but it's not great.
Right, it's hampered by a ridiculous name.
The Animals is terrible. I'm just kidding.
Animals is not good.
Animals is almost unlistenable. The Wall is fucking genius. I love The Wall.
Dark Side of the Moon is still one of my favorite albums all time.
Yeah, me too.
I just bought it 180 gram vinyl, and I like so proud of myself.
That's great. That actually is my favorite album of all time. I even own the VH1 special where they like dive into every track, which if you're into that album, that is a fucking phenomenal documentary to watch. Like, it's just amazing when you watch it and hearing, like, they do a demo of Money, where like Roger Waters does it, and it's sort of this like ratty blues song, and you're like, that became Money. Like, it's amazing. You're like, that? And then I sort of discovered through watching that, like, Rick Wright, the keyboard player, actually the biggest driving force of that album.
Really?
I always assumed it was Roger Waters because of the lyrics, but really it was like Rick Wright coming up with the keyboard parts and then everybody being like, I like that, and writing around that.
He really liked The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Does everybody know that?
Okay, here's the thing.
Zach, do you know about The Wizard of Oz?
Oh, definitely. And here's,
by the way,
here's
don't go to YouTube for this because they didn't sync it up right.
Here's why this exists. So, assuming it is the keyboardist being the driving force, and this is me sort of doing a lot of speculation here, because I like Pink Floyd a lot. I don't have the same like level of reverence to you guys, and I think that's more a generational thing than anything else.
Yeah, because
Between that and the source material.
But let me put you in our place. Like, when we were in high school, most cars did not have a CD player.
Sure.
Okay. Let me just put that on a front street right away. Most cars did not have a CD player. You had to listen to the radio. In Helena, Montana, you were listening to classic rock. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's for a lot of, but in any case, like, when you're a keyboard player, like, you're pretty well trained in the fundamentals at this point. So, like,
you know music.
What else are you going to do other than get high, watch The Wizard of Oz, and write music? Like, those are the three things you do when you're a keyboard player.
That's an excellent point. The other interesting thing I heard about them was Us and Them, that song, which is like a beautiful song.
Yeah.
That song was originally done for like a Vietnam War, like an anti-war movie. And so they did this song, and then they were like, oh, like the director was like, oh, it's not the right for my movie. This is like them impersonating an Italian director. So I'm just going to give my impersonation
of an impersonation.
Roger Waters impersonating them. Okay. He's like, oh, this is a beautiful song. It's not the right for this movie. And they're really pissed off. And this was around when metal came out that they wrote that song. So they wrote this like tremendous song and just sat on it until The Dark Side of the Moon. And that sort of became the driving point of that album. They also, the interviews, this is interesting to me too, they just interviewed people that were around the studio. So it's like famous musicians that are answering the questions. Like, he's answering them like, what do you think of death? What do you think of this? Like, he's just asking questions, and then they record their responses. So like, you have Lindsey Buckingham saying like, I don't know, I was really drunk at the time. Stuff like that. And like, roadies are like responding and stuff. Like, it's great.
I feel like that actually ended up on one of the, like, that clip. I don't know. I was really
That's definitely on it. That's,
I think that ended up
right
in the wall.
Right before Us and Them. I don't know. I was really drunk at the time. Like, that's at the beginning of Us and Them. It's right before it goes, bam, bam, bam. Whoa. Did that just like get all ambiance in your ears?
It did a little bit.
I don't think that's going to translate to the podcast.
No, not at all. That's for us, not you guys.
That's like, do you ever get frustrated when you listen to radio shows and they're like, what is that sound? And you hear
you can't hear it.
Out. Yeah, and you can't hear
it's
anything.
Oh, it bothers
we
me.
We do it all the time.
Constantly.
I'm always like, what the fuck is that outside? And we're all like getting mad about it, talking about how loud it is and stuff. Like, nobody can hear it. Like, when I re-listen to it, I'm like, nope.
I love
it. Nothing. Sorry, guys.
So, real quick thought before I get to my real thought.
Okay.
On the old version of Comedy Death Ray, before it became Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, they had a bit where anytime a motorcycle or a jet would pass by, they would play this song to recognize it. Whether the listener could hear the motorcycle or jet or not, they would play the song. So here's my thought. One of these great unplanned miracles. How weird is it that Pink Floyd became the band most associated with laser shows? Like, that's not the sort of shit you can set out to do.
Especially when lasers didn't exist.
Yeah,
when
they started. Exactly. Wow. Like, that is not the sort of shit you can set out to do. How's, like, that's such a weird thing of, like, chance and good luck that like, that's one of the ways they will live on. The first way I ever heard of Pink Floyd was going to a Pink Floyd laser show.
And it's a brilliant, it's a beautiful way to watch Pink Floyd.
But there is no band who, and it may very well be in the future, no band will ever be more associated with laser shows than Pink Floyd. And it's just weird how things like that sort of happen.
Brandon, final thoughts before my final
There
thought.
Are two... Okay, I'm just going to go off what Zach said. There are two bands that I have seen on laser show that just like, wow, this is so just fun to watch. Pink Floyd is number one. Like, I've seen a couple of different versions of a Pink Floyd laser show, and different versions are still great to watch. Number two was actually Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I believe that.
It's funny because you said that, and the second band I thought of was Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
But Pink Floyd is definitely
yeah.
Number
if
one.
Someone
There's
just said
no, there is no like competition.
If someone
really.
Says to you, "I went to see a music and laser show," your first thought is, "Oh, it was Pink Floyd."
My second thought is like, "You're probably in your 50s or 60s if you said laser music show."
Yeah, oh, of course. Here's what: if you say that phrase, you're in your 50s or older. Or
if
you're
you
me.
Said the laser music show, you're definitely in your 70s.
Yo, 100%. The more unnecessary words you add to that phrase, the older you are.
Okay, and one thing I wanted to say is I have never seen a laser show high.
Me either.
I have been drunk.
I can't claim that, guys.
I have been drunk at a laser show.
I haven't done that either.
I'm
into a laser show
you.
Since I was a kid.
Does it count if I was drunk and high? Because that's the only laser show. Well, I've been to two. One at my school in Oregon. They did like some songs with the laser, and I honestly couldn't tell you what songs. I didn't recognize them. Adult me thinks maybe it was Pink Floyd, but I don't know. I can't say for sure.
If you were to guess Pink Floyd, there's like an 80% chance you're right.
But I was not drunk and high. Don't worry, Mom. I wasn't drunk and high then. When I was like 26, maybe, I saw... Yeah, I was pretty fucked up. I went to Bozeman. Actually, it was one of the nights that you were out. And I saw a flyer at campus. Like, I just dropped in to surprise you, and you were gone. I think you said, like, you went to, like, Billy Madison drunk or something. And so I walked down. Like,
that
I walked
was a great
down
night, by
and
the
got
way.
A ride from somebody over to the planetarium over in the Museum of the Rockies. And I saw Laser Pink Floyd, and I just happened to be high and drunk. So that's the only laser music show I've gone to.
Dude, you hit the, like, pinnacle of it.
Yeah.
So
it was Laser Pink
like
Floyd, and it was great.
That we had an entire conversation where you made fun of the phrase laser music show, and then you went on to use it anyway.
I can't help it. You planted it in my head. I'm only 35, guys. I always acted older.
We're mature for our age.
But here's the final thought, and then we're going to kill this podcast. So,
time is a flat circle.
That's right. Time is a flat circle, and also...
You need to cut in some time in the background while
you know
we're
what?
Recording.
Fuck it. I'll just play it at the end of the podcast.
There
that's
we
how
go.
We're, that's how we're
that's how we're going to
There's
roll
nothing
out.
At all illegal about that.
No. Whatever, dude. Nobody's listening to us. We only get like 1,800 hits
hey,
a week.
There's
we're
a chance
still
this
on the
gets,
quest for 2,000.
There's yeah, a so. Chance this gets subpoenaed.
That's true. Anyway, if you're interested in Pink Floyd, okay, this is not for the casual fan of Pink Floyd. If you enjoy Pink Floyd, I highly implore that you watch the movie Live at Pompeii. because that is the Pink Floyd movie I would put up above all others, because it is Pink Floyd.
Even The Wall.
Yes. I love The Wall. Don't get me started. But that's not a concert movie. Like, I'm talking concert movie, okay? Yeah, I'd watch The Wall before I'd watch Live at Pompeii. But the thing with Live at Pompeii is, like, they were figuring out who they were as a band still with the soundscapes and everything. So you have this early stuff from, like, metal and, like, all these albums. But it's recorded in this ancient, like, arena that was half torn down in Pompeii. And they record it, and it kind of goes back and forth between light and day, just because I guess they had an order they wanted their songs in. But it's really awesome. It's really incredible. The visuals are cool. And intercut within it, they're recording an album. And, you know, they're not like, hey, look at what album this is. They're just talking to them while they're recording an album. The album is Dark Side of the Moon. And so you're getting their thoughts on music and how to assemble music while they are recording Dark Side of the Moon. It is fucking incredible. So please check that out. And we close with Time. Take it easy.
I'm going to talk here so we have...
What?
I'm going to talk here so we have stuff going while Time's playing.
I just said respect the outro.
Hi, I'm Biggs. I'm here to tell you about the wonderful opportunities afforded to you by subscribing to all the wonderful podcasts here at the Not Safer Network. Subscribe to Montucky's Guys at montuckysguys.blogspot.com and you could find a career in woodworking, mechanic, or TV VCR repair. Subscribe to We Had a Good Life at wehadagoodlife.com and you'll discover opportunities such as cobbler, fire and brimstone layer, or advanced lifeguard technician. Subscribe to Shooting the Shit Show at shootingtheshitshow.blogspot.com and you'll love the prospects available in the field of cell phone sales, dragon grooming, or masters of the custodial arts. Subscribe to Real Roulette at realroulettewithzachandbiggs.blogspot.com and you'll be awed by the chances to spread your wings in dot matrix printer sales, do-it-yourself manual writer, or subservient satanic minion. Subscribe to Box Office Battle at boxofficebattle.blogspot.com and explore the magnificent fields of farmhand personal assistant, snake oil salesman, or professional couch surfer. And don't forget to sharpen your workplace skills with the new podcast That's Debatable coming soon. The Not Safer Network is dedicated to help you find that shiny new job that you never knew you wanted.